Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. Very excited. We have both film and music guests this week. We've got five shows scheduled this week, and it's very diverse, our guests, and that just makes it very, very interesting. I am very excited today. Our guest today is an actor, star of the movie Crown and Anchor, which I watched the other night with my fiance Danny, and we just loved it. I'd like to introduce everybody to Mr. Matt Wells. Matt, how are you?
Hey, how's it going, Jamie? I'm doing real good, man. Thanks for having me on your show.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Matt, I just want to say at the get-go, a man after my own heart. I watched the trailer when they sent a media package over and whatnot. And one of the first things I saw is he's grabbing a tape out, and I saw a Dad Nasty cassette, and it took me back to high school.
Yeah.
I had Wig Out at Denko's stuck in my head all day.
Amazing. Yeah, well, you know, like the thing with the characters in that movie and what we were able to do, because it's sort of a throwback to what we remember growing up in, you know, when we were like 12 and 13, how we found music, you know, tape trading and making your own tapes and all that stuff, you know, like before there was going viral on Twitter, there was going viral because everybody passed your tape around. So
right.
it was cool that we could sort of have a throwback to that in Crown and Anchor, because that's sort of how we found music.
Oh, it's fantastic. Fantastic. And I like the story. I grew up, now this is set in Newfoundland, Nova Scotia. And
Newfoundland is further east. So Nova Scotia is its own province, and then you go further east, and it's Newfoundland, which is its own province. So Newfoundland is one of those weird places because it's an island. It's way further east. It's the most easterly point of North America, and it actually has its own time zone. So you're in New York, right?
Computer's in New York. I'm in South Florida, actually. But yeah, Newfoundland's an hour ahead, right, Ben?
Yeah, I'm on Eastern time. I'm in Toronto. So Newfoundland's actually an hour and a half ahead of Eastern time.
Wow.
So it's weird. So it's got the Newfoundland time zone. So it's a very unique place, and it came into Canada came into Confederation in 1949. So, and I only give you that brief history lesson because it really, that's where myself and Michael Rowe, we were both from, born in Newfoundland, and that place sort of shaped who we are, and it really shaped the movie.
Right, right. Well, one of the things that I liked about the movie that really resonated with me, I grew up in Metro Detroit, and I had a lot of friends. I had a lot of Jimmys and Dannys, still do, as friends, that went different paths, and, people choose different walks in different ways. Some of that's good, some of it's, you know, a path they walk, but we're still friends, you know what I mean? And even the colors in this movie, I don't know if a lot of filters were used or whatnot, but it just reminded me, I'm like, man, this reminds me of Detroit, like my home, you know? It kind of had that vibe to it.
Yeah, well, it's. I like that you say that, man, because we did think about, you know, listen, where we're from, Newfoundland is actually a very colorful place. It's one of the most picturesque, beautiful places in the world. And it's known for its sweeping landscapes and all those sorts of things. But, you know, growing up, we sort of grew up in the darker side of that. You know, Mike and I played in bands. We were in the dark alleys. Like, there is a darker part that, like, you know, there's, you know, listen, I've been to Detroit, and sure, there's some parts of it where you just feel like, man, this is a little bit depressing. But there, you know, you go to some parts of Detroit, and like anywhere, you'll find the beauty in it, anywhere. But what we wanted to focus on in St. John's and Newfoundland was these darker moments and these darker characters. And we wanted the audience to feel that. You know, we want to put them in that place. So it wouldn't have served the story or the characters to have Danny and James, these two messed up guys, and then seeing them with this beautiful greenery and landscape behind them and blue skies. Like, we wanted the character to feel their isolation, to feel that they feel trapped. Because, you know, even if you live in a beautiful place, if you're a kid and you're from there, you feel trapped. You just want to go somewhere else.
Right.
So you don't appreciate where you're from usually until you leave. And we wanted people to feel exactly what those guys were feeling, which was trapped.
Right, right. Well, you know, and it's, I don't want to give too much away. We loved this movie. I loved it, especially, like I said, it really resonated, reminded me of a lot of people I know. But it hasn't been, there's almost a trope of, you know, oh, well, these two friends, you know, two friends or brother or what have you, cousins in this case, they each go their different directions. And oftentimes in that storyline, it'll be so widely they exaggerate it, the directions they go, that it's just not believable. Jimmy, you know, yes, became a cop. I don't want to give too much away, but I don't think I am in that. But he's not as far from Danny. I should say he's not as far from his dad as maybe he wants to be, you know. It's powerful characters in this film. Powerful story. I liked it. I liked it a lot.
Well, man, thank you so much. I'm really glad you dug it. And, you know, what I'll say about the Danny and Jimmy character is that, you know, the original story for Crown and Anchor, the original script was something that I had been working on that was very much inspired by my own peripheral family. What I saw growing up, uncles, cousins, like my mom grew up with an alcoholic father. So my grandfather was a violent alcoholic. Mm. And everybody loved him when he was sober, but when he was drunk, he was a scary man. So what I witnessed was that my mom had these three brothers and, you know, she was able to break the cycle of alcoholism. She was able to break that cycle. So it stopped when she had kids. So for me and my sister, we were protected from it. And her brothers, you know, two of them didn't share the same faith. They continued that cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And that filtered into their own kids, to my cousins.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month after $31.25 per month credit. Apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Bay Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's ROXX, for 10% off your first order. Remember, tosots.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks.
So what the two characters represent, you know, and, you know, Andrew Rowe eventually came in and rewrote this script, and this was, you know, he made it more focused on the character. So his version and what you see on screen is a much better character study of what I'm about to explain, which is, and what you're picking up on, you have two people who came from the same world, the same upbringing of violence and addiction. And one of them dealt with it inwardly. That's Jimmy. James dealt with it inwardly. He kept it inside. He broke the cycle in one way, but he's got his own issues. He's broken inside. Whereas Danny, he continued the cycle. He continued to do the things that he saw. So we really wanted to show how people are affected differently, but it doesn't mean one is better than the other. They're both still broken people dealing with traumas from their past. And we wanted to show what that looks like and what happens when they come back together.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, writing the script and having this idea, I should say, and then partnering with people and making it, this is something you've worked on for a long time, it sounds like, before filming even started, right?
Yeah, for sure. It was the first feature-length script I had ever attempted to write. I mean, I got into acting, both Michael and I got into acting a little bit later in life because we had music, and music had taken us all around the world, and that's what we thought we were going to do. So once we both sort of gravitated to acting, and, you know, we knew that, you know, it's a whole hustle. Acting is a whole hustle. You've got to pay your dues in that world. So we thought, well, no one's going to give us a leading role in a movie like this yet, right now, so let's just make our own. And I started to have this idea, like, I just wanted to get the band back together again. Mike and I wanted to find something to work on together again because we missed each other. We weren't living in the same city anymore. We weren't playing in a band together anymore. We missed that creative sort of energy together. So I had this idea, you know, based on this sort of thing, these things I'd seen in my life. Mike and I started talking about it. We started throwing ideas back and forth. I came up with a script which I liked, but it took me, you know, it took me a better part of a year to write it. And then once we decided we were going to bring Andrew in to have a look at it, because Andrew, who's Mike's younger brother and ultimately wrote it and directed it, we know him, and I watched him grow up, and we know that he's one of the most talented writers and directors that we've met and that we know.
Right.
And when we gave it to him, he did exactly what we thought he would do. But he was able to take what I wrote in a year and write what you see on screen in 4 weeks.
Wow.
So he took the characters, he took the sentiment. Him and I had a conversation. I told him all the things that were important for me to keep theme-wise and character-wise, which he did. And he shit this out and made this movie. And I'm, you know, I think all those things that it's sort of a weird way to make a movie, you know, but it was that energy, that sort of like, and it goes back to us being in a band, that punk rock spirit of just like, you know, the sum is more important, you know, like everyone together.
Right.
And it felt real good, man. So, yeah, it took us a while. And, you know, I mean, even filming it, we finished filming this thing 2.5 years ago.
Right.
But it's an independent film. Finds a way.
Yeah. And in distribution and all of that.
Yep.
No, you've experienced a lot of that. Well, some of that, the business aspects of being in a creative project with music, your punk band and what have you. how different is it in film? Is it still the same tightrope walk?
Yeah, man. It's honestly it was all the same muscles that we had to flex from being in an independent band. And it was very similar, and we just sort of applied everything we had learned of that sort of DIY mentality of bands that we loved, like Black Flag and Minor Threat, and it wasn't just the music that we loved; it was the idea of them, the idea of the scenes that they built. When you think about those New York hardcore bands like Gorilla Biscuits and Youth of Today that we have in the movie, or you think of a band like Agnostic Front, they had to create their own scenes because the record companies didn't know what to do with them, right? The record companies were signing Rat and Warrant and Poison and all these long-haired bands. And these hardcore bands were like, well, let's make our own scene, and they did. And all of a sudden, there was 5,000 kids coming out to watch these hardcore bands in New York. So it was just about taking that same spirit of like, we believe in what we're doing, we love what we're doing, and we're going to work harder than everybody else. And by just keeping that in mind, you know, we got this thing in theaters, and here I am talking to you because it's getting distribution in North America, which we never thought would happen, but it's because we just stuck to our gut and just said, you know what, it's really not that different.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. And treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring, it's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool. And if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. TheCRing.com.
Oh, that's fantastic, man. I'm telling you, I sat down, I watched the movie. I spent 2 hours afterwards finding old friends on Facebook and sitting in the trailer saying, hey, when this comes out, you got to watch it. Cause
I love it. Thank you so much.
This is their world, man.
That means a lot. That means a lot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, it's cool. And you guys get it right so often. You know, Danny and I, that's my gal, we'll be watching something or whatever. And what were we watching? We were watching something the other day. And they went to some industrial goth club thing, and there's all these yuppies in there, and I'm like, man, that's I've never been to that goth club. That looks way different than what. And the same thing with punk, you know, it's like, oh, that guy, okay, that's not really what I remember. I mean, the first punk club I ever went to in Detroit was a club called the Greystone, and I remember it was just an abandoned building. And somebody had rigged jumper cables to the power the place, like from the power line.
Yeah, I love it.
In the building. Yeah, and it was like, you know, and that was, They had a mosh pit, but they didn't call them mosh pits in those days. This was a long time ago.
It was a great show. I think to your point, there's something authentic about not just punk, but any kind of music when it's just beginning, right? Before it becomes commercial, before everybody finds it, there's something really authentic about it. And anytime, at least for us, like when you're trying to create something, you always want to stay in that headspace of like, we're doing this because we love it and we have no other choice, right? It's like people always say, right. You spend your whole entire life to make that first album. And it's great because you spent your whole life. And then it becomes popular. And the record company says, oh, great. Now, can you do that again? And we're going to release it in 6 months.
Right.
So you have your whole life to write that great record. And then you get 3 months to write the second one. So it's always trying to stay in that mentality and headspace and not rush things. But it's always a delicate balance when it comes to art and commerce. It's been like that forever. It's never going to change. But with Crown and Anchor, we found some investment. We took just enough that we said we can make this movie, but it's not so much that we're going to be so beholden to people, right? Because when you get into the bigger dollars, people are going to want to start sticking their snouts in there and saying, well, what about this? What about this? What we were able to do with Crown and Anchor was pretty much, the way that we loved all these bands that I mentioned earlier was that we did everything people told us not to do. They said, you really should go find a bankable U.S. movie star. You really should do some exterior beauty shots of Newfoundland. You really shouldn't have too much aggressive hardcore punk music. You really should not have so many intense scenes or intense. It's all pretty intense. You should try to tie it up with a proper bow at the end. And we didn't do any of those things because we didn't have to.
Right.
And that's why people are connecting with the movie, I believe. So that's why we feel really proud of what we did, because we just made the movie we wanted to make, and now people are going to get to see it. I get to talk to you about it.
Well, it's awesome, and it's a fantastic movie. Let me ask you, this was all filmed there in St. John's, right?
Yeah.
No, I'm very ignorant on this, but so excuse me for not knowing, but when you film in Canada, do you have to use a certain amount of Canadian-based companies or whatnot, or actors, or
you don't have to. It depends on what you're doing. The quick lesson in it is called Canadian content, or CanCon. So the Canadian government, which is pretty great, has mandated that all radio stations and music video stations and any sort of government entity that would fund a sort of art project has to be a certain amount of Canadian content. So for us,
awesome.
If we wanted to be able to reap the benefit of like tax credits, which for an independent film you really need, you had to have a certain amount of Canadian content for all your main actors, for all your, your top line, like your writers, your directors, all your bubble lines. So in terms of the business side of things, and when you have a lot of American, like there's a lot of American productions, like in just for Toronto, for sake, where I live, there are so many American productions here, and they had to have a certain amount of Canadian content to reap the benefit of the Canadian tax credits, right?
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beatty, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are two separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Roxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled LapothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
But that being said, nice. That's not why we did it, right? We made a fully Canadian movie with fully Canadian cast because they're here and they're available. Like this,
right.
This is an ensemble piece. Like I know we talk a lot about what myself and Michael did because we're sort of the focus of this film, but it's an ensemble when you think about. You know, Natalie, who plays my wife, Stephen McCaddy, who plays the Gus, Michael's father, Robert Joy, Andy Jones, Jonathan Watton. Like, this is an ensemble piece, and everybody is great in it. So, you know, yeah, sure, we were able to reap the benefits of being Canadian production and help with our tax credits, but honestly, that's not why we did it.
We did it
because everything was available to us, and not only in Canada, but in our home. In Newfoundland, there's a lot of Newfoundland actors, and it was all primarily like 75-80% Newfoundland crew. And the thing with Newfoundland is that it's a bubbling industry all of a sudden. Like this Netflix show with Jason Momoa called Frontier is filmed there. There is, you know, part of Aquaman was filmed there. Like it's a bubbling. Yeah, it's a bubbling industry that people don't really know about, but now everyone's starting to realize, well, there's something happening out there because it's so beautiful, and now they've got the infrastructure and the crew that you can go out and do a full, you know, there's TV series being done out there, and yeah, so it's pretty cool, man.
No, that's awesome, and from what I understand, because I don't hear about it in the news or what, it doesn't have a lot of the political drama that other places like Atlanta and stuff suddenly finds themselves in, you know, that would make me nervous, you know, if I was investing in a project or something like that, you
for
know?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, listen, you know, every place is different. Every place has its own sort of social climate. You know, Canada, even though we're neighbors to America, like politically, the climate is much different here. And in Newfoundland, no, it's a small place, like landmass wise, the province of Newfoundland and Labrador is bigger than Texas, but the population of that giant landmass is less than, you know, probably 400,000 people.
No,
so, it's a beautiful place. The people are great and no, like, you know, it's got its own local, regional, political issues like every place has. But no, it's like, honestly, man, it's like this utopia. I miss it.
That's awesome.
Talking to you now, I'm like, why don't I live there?
Well, more work in Toronto, you know, you got to go where the work is. It's
yeah,
you know, part of it.
For sure.
Until this, you know, starts really clicking along, then you can get that private jet and just fly back and forth and everything.
Yeah,
will be
get
green,
me that
Drake, you
know? Jet. Yeah, get me
that's
that
right.
Drake jet, man.
There you go. Oh, man. Well, that's so cool. And I want to let people know that are listening, we have links up to crownandanchorfilm.com. That's the main Crown and Anchor Film website. And we also have a link up to their Facebook page, which is Crown and Anchor Film on Facebook. So definitely check that out and like and share, because chances are your friends are going to dig what you dig. That's why you're friends. And this definitely is a cool movie to dig. I can't say enough about it. It, you know, people can pick this up, right, July 2nd on DVD and video on demand and all that kind of stream, all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, and yeah, DVD, you'll be able to order, like, you know, on Amazon, wherever you buy DVDs these days. And then, you know, it'll be up on iTunes and all those places. So that it'll be able to buy it and rent it in those places first. And then later in the year, I'm sure you'll start finding it popping it up on your, you know, video on demand streaming services. But for now, that's where you can find it.
I gotcha. Yeah, I mean, you guys are working with Uncorked Entertainment on that. I don't know a lot. I'm not in that world. I don't know that much about it. What I do know is about a month ago, I was cruising through my Hulu. And no, Hulu did not give me a check to say that, but they should. But I was cruising through the movies, and man, it was just one Uncorked Entertainment, like right after the other. And it had been, and what the cool thing is, they were all movies that I had had actors and actresses from on my show. I'm like, how cool is this? Here's all the movies.
Very cool.
So, you know,
yeah,
for a civilian, it's exciting, you know?
Yeah, and they're, you know, we're lucky to be with a company like that, like a, you know, a small independent film like us coming out of Newfoundland, Canada, to find North American distribution through a company like that. You know, it says a lot about what we were able to build, but also says a lot about that company. You know, they're looking for titles like that, and they know there's a market for it, and they're doing a great job. You know, like already just they're getting us a lot of press, getting the word out there. So, you know, like I said,
awesome.
the idea of commerce and art meeting, It's a fine line, but sometimes it works out real well.
That's fantastic. I have one last question before. I know you're a busy man and you got to get going, but I have to ask real quick, how long did narrowing down the soundtrack for this movie take? Because I'm picturing the three of you in a room with a big pad of paper going, we got to have this, we got to have that. Was that a big process?
Honestly, it was Andrew, for the most part, who came up with all those songs. He wrote them into the script. Like,
specifically,
he wrote them into the script because he grew up, you know, really loving straight-edge hardcore music. So he's encyclopedic when it comes to film, and he's encyclopedic when it comes to hardcore music. Mike Rose suggested the band Horror, who come out of New Jersey. But other than that, it was Andrew. The hardest thing was trying to secure them all, because we're an independent film on an independent budget. And that was my job, because in my history in music and music television, we had some contacts. But the quick and dirty of it is, we had made friends with Walter Schreifels. Walter is best known for his work in a band called Quicksand and Rival Schools. But before that, he was the guy who wrote the songs in Gorilla Biscuits and Youth of Today. He's a hardcore legend. And Mike and I and our band Bucket Truck, we loved Quicksand. They were a big deal for us. And we reached out to Walter and asked him if he'd like to appear on our last album. He did. He flew to Newfoundland. He recorded some songs with us. We became friends. We toured together. And it was because of our friendship. We, you know, we started out as fans of his, and we still are, but we became friends, and he's the nicest guy. And it was his support and his connecting us with Revelation Records that managed, allowed us to get Gorilla Biscuits, Youth of Today, Project X, bands like this. And and then once that happened, because they're legendary, everybody else fell into place. Like, oh, well, if those bands allowed them, then this must be something here. And it wasn't easy, but it was because of Walter and Revelation Records supporting us first that opened the doors.
Oh, that's awesome. And it goes to show, any aspiring filmmakers out there, make friends with everybody, because you never
know. That's right.
Very
you never
important.
Know. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Matt, for being on the show and taking time out of your busy schedule and whatnot. I really appreciate it. It was an honor to talk to you today. And I'm going to tell you this. You already know this. Keep doing what you're doing, man. You're real good at it. I want to see more. Fantastic.
I appreciate it, man. We really appreciate your support. It means a lot.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you so much. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for us today. Again, Mr. Matt Wells, and Crown and Anchor is the name of the film. You got to check this out. Very cool crime drama film. I liked this. I'm give it, 9 stars out of 10, just because I never give anything a 10 out of 10. But fantastic film. Fantastic film. And we will be back tomorrow. Let's see, today's Monday. What is tomorrow? Tomorrow's Tuesday. What do we have tomorrow? What's going on? I don't know. We have somebody that I can't think of it right now. Check my website, jamierocks.us, and you can see who's going to be on tomorrow. We will see it. Oh, tomorrow's Wednesday. Today isn't Monday. That's why I messed up. We've got a very cool filmmaker from this really creepy movie we watched the other night called Dolls. Yep, it's dolls that come to life and kill people. It's fantastic. We'll be there tomorrow afternoon on that as well. So we'll see you then. Again, check out Crown and Anchor, click those links, and we'll see you tomorrow. Thanks, Matt, for being on.
Thanks, Jamie. Take it easy, man.
You too. Bye.
Yeah.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.